Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? Welcome back. This is Andrew Morgans, founder of Marknology, here as today's host of Startup Hustle. Today's title is Launching Again, a Four-Time Founder's Formula. And I'm sure you'll know our guest for today. Before I make that introduction, today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult. Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably and has the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Matt Watson, welcome to the show.
What's up, man?
I'm super excited to have you. Our listeners obviously know, who you are, but I think it's going to be exciting today to kind of dig into what you're doing new. That's fun. Maybe they know some of it, maybe they don't. I'm definitely going to learn, and just excited to kind of catch up. We don't always get to catch up. We pass each other. We're in the same building sometimes. Sometimes we're not. But I'm excited to have you on the show and kind of hear what you're doing.
You know, I'm sitting here doing the math in my head, and I'm thinking, you know what? This might be the third time I've been a guest on the show. So one in every 400 episodes, I get to be a guest or something, I guess.
Well, for me, you know, I think when we met, like, I don't know, I think it's been, so I joined the podcast in 2020, but I think I met you guys at, 2019, at you and DeCourcy, and I would come on as the Amazon update.
Yeah. So, it was like a weekly thing.
Yeah, you guys did the podcast together at that time before we split it off and did everything like more remote and digital. And, just getting to come down to your guys' office, see the podcast studio. My business has come a long way since then, but it's just been fun watching the Fullscale journey and the Startup Hustle, journey, seeing what you guys are building.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having me today.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun, and I'm excited to have you on my show and get my listeners the Tuesday spot to kind of just know a little bit more about some of Startup Hustle's founders and, Fullscale's founders. But today we're going to be talking about something different at Capacity.
Yeah, so we're still talking about marketing, man. I mean, that's what At Capacity does. We do digital marketing software for primarily home services, so like plumbing, HVAC, electrical, but I think we just signed up our first medical spa, which is like high-end, ladies treatments, usually like Botox and weight loss, all these things. And we're expanding to other industries. We're trying to get in automotive. So we're like really excited, but we're like a scrappy little startup still trying to figure it out and not sure what verticals we're going to go into, right? So we're trying to figure it out.
Well, before we jump into exactly what At Capacity does and, some of what those verticals are and different things, let's talk about just how this came to be. I mean, you got your hands in a lot of things, and we've discussed this maybe 6 months in the past before we did a little e-com, just like R&D conversations around, what Amazon and e-commerce sellers are into and what their needs are. But talk to me about, this new project that you're involved in, how'd it come to be?
Yeah, so I had a previous company called Stackify that I sold in 2021, which, by the way, it was totally weird to sell a company like in 2020 during COVID. We sold that company. I never met in person the people that acquired the business, which was strange.
That is
totally bizarre. But we sold that in 2021. I stayed there for a few months and then left. And you know, one of my friends here in Kansas City was telling me about where she was working and what they were doing, which is a company called, at the time it was called Home and Local Services, but now it's called Camp Digital. And talked to her a few times and whatever. I was sort of not doing anything. I was sort of like, I had like a good 6 months of, I don't know if I'd call it being retired, but sort of messing around and figuring out every way to lose money trading crypto.
Sabbatical. I think they call it sabbatical.
A sabbatical. But, you know, from talking to her, you know, a few times kind of piqued my interest. And at first I'm like, software for home services for plumbers? This sounds stupid. Like, why would I do this? The more I got into it, the more I realized what they were doing. I kind of saw the opportunity and saw, you know, what they had been doing for the last 5 years. They were very successful. And I joined them as basically their chief technology officer and kind of got to know the business over the last year. And part of the goal was to take the technology that they had and spin it out into another company and then go after other verticals.
Okay.
So, you know, Camp Digital is arguably, you know, the number one, if not, you know, top three marketing agencies in the home service space. They focus on the super large home service companies. A lot of them, it's crazy, man, spend $50,000 to $100,000 a month on Google ads. Like, you wouldn't believe how big some of these like plumbing and HVAC companies are, but that's who their customer base is. But that means they also don't service like the other 98% of the market. Like,
yeah,
the average like plumber that you see drive down the street, where, you know, stereotypically it's like a guy and his, you know, one or two other employees and his wife, you know, runs the back office and answers the phone. Like, that's the stereotypical like small business, right? They don't service them because they're too small. They're too small for their agency. So our goal was to build a software product that could serve that mid and, you know, even smaller market, you know, small plumbing company, HVAC company, stuff like that. So that's what we set off to do.
So would you compare Camp Digital kind of to a Marknology in regards to it being service-based?
I mean, you guys, your expertise is e-commerce and Amazon and all that kind of stuff, and their expertise is plumbing.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I'm just trying to, like, you know, for any of our listeners, really understand kind of what happened. And I would assume this was like a software that Camp Digital built in-house.
It was something they built in-house. And so the premise of it is, if you had a water leak today and you call the plumber and the plumber says, sorry, I can't be there for 3 days, you just hang up, you call the next one, right? So as a plumber, it makes no sense for you to be advertising if you can't come deliver the service. If you can't come out today or come out tomorrow and take care of that water leak, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because these are emergency or like time-based services. Like,
I mean, just like me, right? If my air conditioning stops working, my wife is going to kill me if I don't get that shit fixed. It needs to be fixed today. It needs to be fixed tomorrow. Doesn't even matter how much it's going to cost. If it costs $20, $100, whatever, it's got to be fixed, right? It's got to be fixed now, right? So for all these kinds of companies, they also are terrible customers for other marketing agencies. So other marketing agencies, and I don't mean dog Marknology in the mix of this. You guys are different. You do e-commerce.
Speak your mind.
But other marketing companies in home services, you know, they just want you to spend $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month, whatever it is for your marketing spend, and just spend it. No different if you're running a TV ad or a radio ad, or they just spend the money, whatever.
Yep.
They don't want to be held accountable for the performance, and they want to take their 20% or whatever and just spend the money. They don't care. Where back to the scenario, if you're a plumber, you need to turn your ads on and off every day, depending on your workload, right? So the week before Labor Day, not a lot of people wanted to do plumbing for whatever reason. But then the week after Labor Day, it's crazy busy. Like, everybody waited until after the holiday, right? You get this crazy ebb and flow in the business. And because, you know, it's service-based business, you have literal people doing the work, that capacity ebbs and flows. And it needs a software technology to help kind of manage when they do advertising, when they turn it off, when they expand their service area, right? Like, hey, we haven't had a lot of work to do the last couple of days. Let's expand our service area. We're willing to drive an extra 30 minutes to go do a job. We need jobs to do, right? So there's a lot of stuff that needs to be more dynamic in how they do their marketing that other marketing companies just straight up don't do and other industries don't do. Like, you wouldn't do an e-commerce, right? You wouldn't turn the ads off the same way.
I'm going to check them maybe once a week.
It's different.
There's a reason. Like, you know, some of it is time. I can't check it every single day. Part of it is if you change it too much, you have no, you know, there's no real trend lines to look at. Yeah. You know, is it working? Is it not? When you're selling e-commerce products, people can buy. What's amazing about it is that your store's open 24/7.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, people can buy all day, every day. And at that point, you know, we might be doing something like day parting where we're like, okay, we want to show from 8 to 12,
exactly.
You know, a lot of our budget, and from 6 to 10, you know. But I would also think about with service-based businesses, and like, you have, okay, are people home on the weekend, Labor Day? They're probably at the lake or outside grilling, you know, or they don't want to handle that problem at home because they're at, you know, their friend's house for Labor Day, you know, whatever the case might be. Those things all relate to it, right?
Yep.
And so then there's a boom afterwards. Like, something you might not know about me, I don't know, I run a property management business as well. We have like 10 or 12 Airbnbs in the city, and you know, 80 or so homes. And you start to really notice the trends of when things happen, like heavy rains, you know, the first freezes, or like if it's so hot that the ACs aren't, you know, they stop working, they just can't keep up. And then it comes down to, okay, well, we need to have our service providers out there changing the filters before it gets that hot, and, you know, da 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 da. But there's these like things that you start to see after seasons. And being able to adjust that is something that just, you can't pay enough manpower to have, you know, someone on Labor Day turning ads off, let's say.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of service companies that need a certain amount of clientele, right? Like a small plumbing company, they're like, hey, I need 5 or 6 calls a day, right? And it's not like they have 20 or 50 or 100. Like, it's not infinite. It's only 5 or 6. But think about other companies even that do recurring schedules, say like a maid service or lawn care or other things. Pest control, they need a certain book of business. And if a couple customers cancel, they need to advertise and they need to get a couple more. And then when it's done, it's done. Kind of like you with your property management, right? You need renters when you need them. And then when you don't need renters, you don't need new renters, right?
Another 12 months or whatever, right?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of ebb and flow in the business. And, you know, those are the kinds of problems we're trying to solve. And honestly, it's not that complicated. But we, you know, have a whole host of different solutions that we provide them. And we also build websites for them. So a lot of our customers are small plumbers or whatever, right? So they need a website that converts really well, that has great landing pages and all the stuff. And so we, you know, have a turnkey offering for them. And, you know, we're still partnered with Camp Digital. So Camp, you know, we still work very closely with them. This kind of was an offshoot of that. But you know, I'm also excited to go into other industries outside of home services. So think about like a service department at a car dealership. It's no different, right? If all the service bays are full, it doesn't make any sense to advertise for service, you know, 2 weeks from now. So, you know, trying to help these different companies manage this kind of stuff that's more dynamic is the goal.
I had a couple of just like random thoughts I'm going to run them by you. One, I have some like home service based, you know, people in the family that run their own businesses.
Yeah.
Okay. So smaller businesses like that. You know, so things coming to mind that I know they deal with and whatnot. But kind of recently, because our staff is always busy on the property management side for different things I've needed around the office here, you know, at Marknology or at my house, I've been using like TaskRabbit and some of these, little apps that kind of help me find a plumber or a cleaner or different things like that.
You need to look at Lula, which is a Kansas City based company that specializes. Lula. Yeah. Okay. It specializes in this for property management.
I'll have to write this down. Lula.
Yep.
But for me, I'm like, okay, is it becoming more and more common? You know, because I would say like 98% of the time, if I'm looking for something, especially local, I've got my GPS location services turned on my phone and I'm searching plumbers near me or plumbers or lawn care. So Google having a much more bigger impact, I guess, than in e-com when I think about it, just a lot more spend there happening based on location.
It's direct response, right? When somebody searches for that problem, they're looking for a solution today, right? They're not window shopping like e-commerce style. They're like, I need somebody right now to come fix this thing. And 70% of all the leads are phone calls. Wow. I would argue the other 30% would make a phone call, but it's 3 a.m. and you don't answer it. You know, nobody submits a form lead on a website that says, I hope you get this message and come fix my plumbing leak as fast as possible.
Without a call.
Yeah. And it doesn't happen. You call. You're like, babe, I called them. They will be here. Like, you know, it's a different industry. It's totally different industry.
Yeah. It's really coming to mind just now, like, you know, some of the things that they would face when it comes to that. And sometimes my frustration as a tech guy, an e-com guy, I'm like, is everything here old school? Like, let me just, like, you know, get to what I need to do. And you're waiting on a call and you're like, you guys literally calling me randomly in the middle of the afternoon. Like, I don't have a calendar, you know? But like, if your plumbing or your AC is down, like, you know, nothing else matters. Like,
yeah,
you know, I think we had an issue with internet being down here at the office this week. And for a couple of hours, it was, you know, here at the Martin, like, you know, the whole floor. I mean, I guess all three floors, the front door, some kind of circuit thing with our security entrance, you know, and the internet. So the internet had to come down for security. It's three businesses that are in a position now to not be able to work out of the office. We go to a coffee shop, everyone has to move or go home. It's an hour, yeah. Use an hour across three businesses. It's a lot. So these things can be super important, but like, where else do they spend marketing budget besides, you know, booking appointments?
So home services has the best source of leads, might be something you've never even heard of. And even though you work in marketing and a lot of people have never heard of, is something called Google Local Service Ads. So Google has a whole new program that they've launched over the last couple of years called Local Service Ads. And if you go and search like plumber near me, it's the first little row of boxes that come up on the top of the screen. And it's wired for a whole bunch of different services and keywords. Most everything is home service related. They are expanding to, I think, even automotive and all sorts of, like, there's a long list. I mean, I think it even covers like bail bondsmen and like, there's like all the, they're all little service company kind of business kind of stuff, not all home services, but they're all like local company things, right? Local service ads. And they're great for a lot of industries because they're totally different than normal pay-per-click where you're paying, you know, $10 a click, $20 a click, whatever. And you're bidding against everybody. In the local service ads, you pay a fixed amount per lead. It's a cost per lead. Wow. And Google actually has different pricing on a phone call lead versus a, what they call a message lead, a tech, like email, text message kind of lead. But they work great, and it has definitely changed the game and sucked up a lot of the lead volume, even out of like the traditional pay-per-click stuff. So this Google Local Service Ads is huge in a lot of these like local services, home services kind of industry. If it's something maybe you've never even heard of, it's totally, totally new thing. So
yeah, because it's like, you know, if there was, let's say, three Amazon agencies in Kansas City, that would be kind of a lot. If we were trying to service like Amazon brands, right? Just like, you know, there's three, we can work digitally, so it's not a thing. If you're a home service-based company, almost every neighborhood, not quite every neighborhood, right? But every like municipality or every suburb, you know, you're going to have two or three.
Hundreds of them.
Yeah. Over each, like, you know, so because they can only handle so many, because there's usually a team of, you know, they're less than 10 usually. So how many they can service, and there's just really, it doesn't work in the same way, you know? Okay. So I'm going to back up just a little bit. We understand kind of what is working and, you know, why and how it can serve them better in some of the areas that you're in. But a more personal question, you know, you talked about selling Salsify. There was an exit before that, right? And then the founding of a Full Scale as well. And now at Capacity, you know, what kind of inspired you to take this one and run?
I think it's entrepreneurial ADD. I think so. I mean, I think I have the bug. I don't know, man. I just like helping people and I love business. You know, I had lunch with somebody today who, believe it or not, had software in a payday loan space, and he was thinking about selling it to other payday loan companies and needed help. And it's like, well, maybe I can help you if you need like an advisor or whatever. I don't know. I just love business and I love solving business problems and talking to people. And I don't know. I need something to do. I very much
can relate. No, it doesn't have to be a better answer than that, actually. Like for me, I can be over eager a lot of times, and patience has been something that I've had to learn through the process of entrepreneurship. And for me, kind of sometimes having completely different verticals of projects, they can be somewhat related. Like for me, property management, as a partner, I handle the Airbnbs. I handle getting photographers, decorating the Airbnbs, automation in our email process, our SMS process. As you know, I handle e-commerce stuff, really. Like a lot
you
of
do
the,
all you do all of that for your property management company.
Yeah, I do the digital stuff. Okay. You know, that's what I bring to the table. You know, they're handling all, they're showing actually people the rentals and, you know, maintenance and all those kinds of things. So they're kind of related, but it's also, it's different. And for my, you know, if you want to call it ADHD, it's also like whenever this thing is stuck or I'm having to wait, I can go over here and like utilize, you know, the energy I've got, or like it kind of solving a different problem for me is fun. And I think, one, you know, you've worked in the programming space, development space for a while, at least with Stackify, and now you're in service based and local. So not just service based home services or whatever it might branch into, but I think that local piece is something that I have yet to really tackle in everything that I've done. You know, even Airbnb is booking people traditionally from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right. They're booking before they're here, which is kind of just, it's interesting to me. I have yet to touch the local side of anything.
Well, when you say local, I imagine you're talking about local marketing, right? So you have
localization.
Like local,
yeah.
Like how do you do SEO, like search engine optimization for local and websites that are, you know, it's like our customer is in, you know, the suburbs of Knoxville, Tennessee, and their SEO is really just about a small little area of those suburbs, right? It's, yeah, it's totally different when you think about SEO and things like that. So my last company, Stackify, we did a lot with SEO and it was global. We had 10 million website visitors a year from every country in the world, you know, across all of them. And so, yeah, it is totally different. The local aspect of it is definitely a little different to stop and think about for a while, for sure.
So I called out the localization piece, or just like thinking even very, very specific, you know, specificity there for what the industry is and what zip code they're in or whatever is like, I mean, that makes it, this is your buy box, so to speak. What's different? What are some of the things that you feel like are different between this, the fourth time you've been doing this, and the first time?
You know, I always say in a lot of my LinkedIn content and stuff like that now, I talk a lot about, especially as a software developer, you go from like being in love with the code to eventually you got to make the next jump to be in love with the product and the customers, right? And then kind of think the next level of it is the building of a business around it is kind of the next level. But then when you start working on the business side of it, you figure out very quickly what's more important than anything is how to sell this thing. How do we find customers, right? And so, you know, I think, so that's the progression of my career, right? You go from code to product to business to now knowing, okay, like sales and marketing is actually in charge of all of these things. And the great thing about Camp and the opportunity that we had with this was being able to work with Camp, right? So Camp had 5 years of being in the industry and everybody knows who they are. And so they're bringing all the customers and relationships and everything. So that was part of what was made this such a great opportunity was working with them. And that's the thing, as any other entrepreneur, I always think about now, it's like, how are you going to sell this thing? You know, if you don't know how to sell it, it's so much harder. You got to know how to sell this thing. And it's something I rave about all the time now.
I think I can echo that 1,000%. I love that you said that, because if any of the young guys here at Marknology come to me with an idea, or, you know, someone's talking to me about, I have this product idea, yeah. How are we going to sell it? And at least that's where, if I'm trying to help them, that's immediately what I start thinking about, to think about if they have a good idea or not. I'm like, okay, if they're selling this, you know, this sunglass case, like, okay, what's going to make us want to sell this? What's going to make anyone else want to buy this? How are we going to do it? Are we going to use influencers? And I'm not looking for like a vague answer. I'm literally trying to envision myself purchasing it.
Yeah. And you don't necessarily know what's going to work, right? You just have to come up with a bunch of ideas and you got to try them. And that's part of what makes it fun and exciting too. But
I think you've just phrased like what marketing and sales is in a fun way, which is, when I just think about marketing, it's like, meh. Okay. But when you're like an entrepreneur and a founder and you're like, look, I need to go to marketing to figure, like, to envision, okay, this is how it's going to go to market and how people are going to purchase it and the way that they're going to capture it. And then I can go back to the stuff that I like to do. But you're in that, like, that is the most important. You can build the coolest spaceship in the world, you know, or I guess Noah's Ark, and if there's, you know, no one's going to come if they don't know about
well,
it.
So that's the value of what you provide and what we provide at camp/at capacity, right? Is just imagine if you're a plumber, you're like, I need help. I need somebody to make my phone ring. That's the problem they need to solve. I need phone calls. I need people to call me and beg me to come fix their plumbing problems, right? They don't know how to do that, but there are experts that do, right? So they call us. And just like you on the e-commerce side, you're like, hey, we're experts at Amazon. Whatever you want to sell, you call us. We'll figure it out. We'll take care of it, right? And they build widgets. Whatever widgets they build, they sell, whatever the thing is. They're not experts at marketing either, but you are, right? And so that's the value as a business too, is knowing where you can find that expertise and that help in areas that you don't know, right? And just like you with property management, I'm sure there's things that you don't fix in your own house, right? You're like, you know what? Yeah. I'm calling the plumber to come fix this one. Andrew's not going to fix the toilet.
I have a funny story for that. So this is just a real founder talk conversation. Martinology was a couple years old. I had started Airbnb back in the early days of Airbnb and just realizing I could make a couple $100 a night off my loft downtown. I'd stay at a girlfriend's house, my sister's house, something, and make $1,000 that weekend. And when I was getting my business off the ground, it was like a lifeline. Like, wow, this is like, sure, I'll stay at my girlfriend's house and make $1,000. I have no problem with that. I had already been through a divorce, so everything I had in my house was kind of like new. It wasn't like, you know, real sentimental stuff, I guess is what I'm getting at. It wasn't like, oh my God, if someone takes this, I'm going to be heartbroken. And I was Airbnb-ing. Well, Airbnb comes down with rules that like you can't do it if you already have a lease, you can't just do it in a place like downtown. So you had to have like, you had to own the home to be able to Airbnb it. So I'm like, well, man, I was making a killer. I was literally paying for every trip I wanted to take. With my Airbnb at home, it would pay for my trip. It was amazing. So I rented this place in Midtown and made this deal with this guy. He had like 12 houses. So it wasn't a big corporate company. It was a 2-bedroom split level house. The bottom had a basement with a private entrance and a shower. I'm saying all this to say, you shouldn't fix everything in your house. I'm a fixer. I like to think I'm a man and I can do shit, you know? And I go down there, the shower needed a new shower head. And I was trying to fix it up to where someone would want to stay in this basement, make it kind of nice. I go down there and I'm like, okay, I know how to do this. There's a water valve behind, you know, if you pull it off, there's a water valve. You can turn it off, turn off the water. And then I'll put this thing on there. Well, I start pulling it off, touch the valve. It breaks because it was kind of like fragile. And water is like, it literally is just gushing me in the face and in my clothes. Like I thought I had the water turned off. So I'm literally just like, you know, in one minute I'm having a call with like a brand owner, a CEO to CEO, and the next minute I'm like, and
you're getting a shower.
Well, what happened? This is like a house that like they did it just like Jimmy rigged it or something, you know. So the shutoff valve wasn't the one, and the second one I found wasn't the one. It was in a completely different location than most houses, and whoever had renovated the basement was doing it with RV parts.
Oh, so, like, nice,
a mobile home. So when I'm looking stuff up on YouTube, like, what am I doing wrong? Nothing's matching up. Like, it's like, this is not what goes in a shower. This is like an RV shower. And then I still had to call the guy. And
he charges you twice as much to fix it if you tried to fix it yourself first, right?
Yeah, I had to humble myself, you know. So thankfully, I didn't have a girlfriend or a wife to laugh at me while it was happening. It was like I was all by myself, you know. But you're right. And that's just a funny story of like, you know, some stuff you just shouldn't do.
Just hire the experts, man. Bring them in.
Just hire at capacity and get the job done the way it should.
Yeah. Or if you want to sell something on Amazon, right? You can jack around, you figure it out, or you call an expert, right? Like that's, and I think I've really come to value that in life in general, just like I would call a lawyer or a CPA or whatever. I'm a fan of the fractional services, you know, having... Yeah. Like I don't need, a lot of companies don't necessarily need like a full-time CTO. There's a whole bunch of people now that work as a fractional CTO that can come in and help these little startups and tech companies. And they provide a huge amount of value and a skill set. They otherwise, like they couldn't afford $300,000 a year to hire a full-time CTO, yep. Right? Like there's so many fractional services like that that are also super valuable. And kind of what my company does and what your company does is sort of similar that way, right? They could try and do it all in-house. Or they can just hire the experts at probably a lower cost and it's fractional, right? Makes way more sense.
For me, it took me a bit of a journey to figure out, one, it was just coming up where money was tight you have this kind of mindset of scarcity and like, I should do it myself, save money, don't go to the hospital,
yeah,
you know, sew myself up type thing. And then, you know, but then you turn into a business owner and you just got to go through those, that mindset shift. And then two, it was, as I became an expert myself in something, and I truly believe that I was an expert in something, it allowed me to kind of have more space for other experts and really see like the value in having someone that's a pro do what they do best. I got a couple more questions for you. Before I do, finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io. We can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more.
That's a cool company. I like them.
I love them. I love them. It's full of good people. It's
also a service company.
Yeah, check out the website just if it's to enjoy like kind of looking at team members and like just what you guys have done with fullscale.io. I think it's really cool. You know, the internal mechanisms you guys have built to make that thing run and actually make the team members feel like part of the team is awesome. So talk to me about like some of the challenges, I guess, that you guys are facing now as you've kind of like, you've really figured out home services and you're going into some of these other verticals. You know, kind of what is that? Is it defining which verticals could use it? Is it, you know, what are some of the challenges, I guess, you guys are facing as a team?
Well, so we know it works well for short-term transactions like plumbing, HVAC, electrical, some of these things. But we don't know how well it will work for other industries, and we're trying to figure it out. I mean, some of them though might want to hire us kind of like they would any other random digital marketing company, and maybe we could service them even though they don't get like the real power of what made us unique. So that's also interesting. Just through talking to other people that just think that we're experts at digital marketing, they want to hire us anyways, even though it's, you know, the specific technology part is less critical. So that's part of the problem of being a startup though, right? Is you're like, well, these people want to buy our software, but they're not necessarily buying it for the exact reason that we wanted to sell it for. And maybe what made us unique gets lost if we go service all of those kinds of customers, right? So that's always the challenge of,
man, of being an entrepreneur. That'll preach, so to speak.
Yeah. But we're you know, we don't know. I mean, we think there's opportunity in like dental and orthodontist and like even a bell bondsman or whatever. Like it could be funeral homes have capacity, right? Like, I don't know. We'll see.
Can, you know, something I was thinking about is kind of like this forecasting piece that was like, you know, helping educate, let's say a dental office. Okay. You know, they're booked. I know I've waited months to get into the dentist depending on what I need to do. And it could be essentially like their marketing could also dictate, communicate to them, advise them, especially with AI now. Maybe it's time for another office. Maybe it's time to expand. Maybe
hiring more employees, right? Like that's the thing we hear all the time. They're like, well, we want to have that problem where we're full. We'll just hire more people, right? And so that's our goal. Our goal is to work with people that want to grow their business, and we're a tool to help them grow their business. Especially
if it's a service-based business that can schedule out, you know, like let's say a tattoo shop or something like that, where it's not an emergency. It's not an emergency, to, you know, and so you can schedule out and you're like, look, we're booked 6 months out. We have a marketing pipeline that's working. The next move seems
there's a
to
problem
be
though. Nobody wants to work.
Yeah.
None of these companies can hire anyone. That's the problem.
I honestly can't disagree. We were talking before we started the show, and we were just talking about, you know, finding good people and keeping them. And it's harder. It's easier said than done. I was thinking the same thing.
It's crazy how low unemployment is still. Like, and who knows if the unemployment numbers are really real or believable, but we're recording this on September 14th. And when you guys are listening to this, the United Auto Workers might still be on strike from today. We'll see. But you think about it, the big three might almost be in the worst position they've ever been in, because who else would they hire to do those jobs? Like, there's nobody to hire. That's the crazy world we live in. Like, I talk to plumbers and stuff like that all the time, and like they can't even hire people. Like, it's insane the
situation.
Or you
hire them, and the entitlement is insane.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
We got a situation where, you know, asking people, can you bring your laptop to the meeting? You know, can you bring a laptop? I'm going to do it from my phone. That's not what I'm asking. You know, like, it's just like you're still in your first 90 days of trial here. You should just kind of do whatever you're supposed to do. If you're supposed to have a name tag and your shirt tucked in and your shoes tied, and what happened to just like, you know, being excited to be professional and be your best, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's something that is a little crazy to me. I think I'm a little old school for a younger man. I think I'm a little old school and just raised by my gramps around just do things in the right way because it's supposed to, that's supposed to be there. And if you have a boss, you respect them, whether you want to work there or not. If you don't, you leave, but you respect them while you're there, you know? And it is hard if you have talent, if you have like a lot of mental talent, let's say development skills, or, you know, you can be a developer, you can kind of pick where you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's definitely an employee market.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a lot of ways.
Employees are our company, right? Without the talent, I mean, we have no company, and, you know, it's no different at Full Scale. We have 300 employees in the Philippines. Without them, we have nothing. I mean, they are the company. I mean, so talent is everything, and trying to support your employees, take good care of them, all that kind of stuff. And for me on the Full Scale side, I always say it's like my job is to find them fun work to do, you know? But yeah, you gotta take care of your employees, or that's the thing about business. Businesses don't exist without employees. Employees, yeah, it can be a giant pain in the neck, but business doesn't exist without them. So
I fired two clients this week. I don't love doing that. I'm an anti-confrontational type person. But I had to take care of my employees. Like, they, you know, they're bullying them. You know, just kind of being rude for no reason, like just being ridiculous in regards to demands and, you know, messaging on Saturdays, and I need this in an hour, and don't respond until you've got this done. And, you know, and, we're nothing without our employees, you know? So as an owner, I'm like, I'm trying to build a business. I don't want to fire clients. At the same time, what's the most important?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You're going to lose your employees or find better clients, you know? It's hard.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're in that type of service, home services type of business, it's very easy to be an entrepreneur that has a busy 8-hour day. I do believe that. Like, it's pretty easy to be, you know, you said you need 4 or 5 appointments, and it's kind of like, I have to do it. And I used to do a lot of landscaping, lawn care, when I was in school in Hawaii, and even before that as a kid, coming back from Africa in summers and stuff. And, you know, it's pretty easy to be making the money I need to be just with lawns. It would happen word of mouth. People would see you do a good job. They'd say, come do my lawn.
Yeah.
You know, you ask a couple people and you're as busy as you can be, you know, and it's not that hard to do that, versus being an employee of a small business that's, you know, 5 or 6 people, that's going to be paying you quite a bit less than if you're doing it on your own. And so how do you really get from that wage standpoint to make it so much more worthwhile to be a part of this company? You know, maybe you're not having to handle, you know, getting any appointments. You're not having to handle these types of things. I think you have to get really creative these days in regards to, you know, scaling your business. But I think for me, hiring was always a hard KPI to figure out. When should I hire? You know, do I have enough business coming in to be able to hire and not have to let somebody go if we lose a client? And I think what you guys are building there at capacity, I could just really envision that coming down the line of saying, hey guys, like, you're, you don't have to be scarcity minded anymore. The business is here. Like, you know, how do you grow it?
Well, and those are some of the unique situations that our software is designed to help, where, you know, think about a plumbing company or something that has maybe 10 technicians. You know, they don't have 10 every day. You know, people have days off. They have technicians that work on Saturdays. They don't work different on Wednesdays, different skill sets. Like plumbing specifically, they have people that only do drains versus full master certified plumbers. So yeah, I mean, just dealing with all that ebb and flow of that is interesting. And that's what our software is trying to help.
The Airbnb side, I think, could really probably use, you'd have to probably change the software a bit to make it work for Airbnb. But, you know, Airbnb has all of the aspects of traditional property management. And then it has a different payout system than property management. And it has, so you have maintenance and you have cleaning and you have the guests. So there's kind of like this 3-level layer of coordinating, you know, when is the checkout time? The cleaners have to be there a certain time. Maybe maintenance has to be there on a day that it's not booked.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all those kinds of things kind of going into the calendar. It can be, pretty complicated. And what I found is that, there's like traditional property management software. Like one we use is called PropertyWare. It's pretty high end, pretty enterprise. And then you have a separate software for Airbnb and short term rentals, like VRBO, Expedia. There's a few besides just Airbnb. You know, and you're kind of taking it out of one and almost manually putting it in your traditional property management software, because there isn't really a play between them both. And it's not necessarily just the marketing play, because you don't take listings down and put them back up, but it very much so is the availability. And
well, imagine being a cleaning service that cleans these Airbnb properties, right? It's like, well, you can only clean them between like 11 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. What do I do the rest of the day?
Yeah,
right. Like that's interesting.
So as someone who's done it 5 years now, a lot of the cleaners have multiple jobs.
Yeah.
Okay. So you either have someone full time and you're having them kind of clean on the properties that don't have current guests. You either have to flex a couple part timers when, let's say, there's a turnover on all the same day, or you block a few of the properties. So a few could turn over and a few have to block. But it's people that, you know, work a night shift. And so they're like, I'm trying to make, you know, extra money from 10 to 3 before I go into my shift at 4 or 5 or whatever.
And sort of like a gig, almost like a gig job, you know?
Yep, exactly. Which, I mean, there we go. Gigs too, right? You're getting booked for gigs. It's not home services, but it's another one of those ones where like you only have a certain amount of bandwidth, but you need to be getting shows.
Yep.
You know, that's the ideas just keep coming to my mind in ways that this can be repurposed, but I think it's going to be exciting to watch you guys do it. You know, as we get close to the end of the show, I'd love to just end with a few questions about, you know, you're on startup number 4. I kind of think of the podcast as almost like a 4.5, like it's its own entity and its own on of its own. What's some advice you'd have for fellow founders, you know, saying, hey, maybe they've taken a sabbatical and they're trying to get back in the saddle and kind of figure out what's next for them?
Well, I'm a fan of networking and just meeting other people, and you never know what kind of business ideas you're going to run into, or you just never know. You never know who you're going to meet, who they know. And like the guy I had lunch with today, he's like, I reached out to you because everybody kept saying your name. He's like, I talked to people around town about various things. They kept bringing you up. And I'm like, okay, well, here we are. Let's eat lunch. And, you know, I felt like I gave him a lot of great advice today. And offered to potentially help him a little more if he wanted a little help. And I made a really key introduction for him that was key. So, you know, you just never know with business. And that's a lot of times that's how companies get started, right? Is it's matching up different ideas with talent, people that need help, whatever. Like that guy probably would have brought me in as a business partner if I really wanted to go do that thing. I don't know. You just never know. And the more you meet with people, the more those opportunities come around. And the biggest suggestion I ever have to other entrepreneurs, and I saw this on a random TikTok video one day, and I wish I actually knew who the source of this was. It's way more important to be best known for what you do than being best at what you do. Most of us are so focused on being the best at what we do, but that really doesn't matter. It's best known is way more important. I mean, we all use companies, services, products every day because they're the best known products, not because they're the best.
You're right. And that's specifically a hard lesson for me to learn. Whether people believe it or not, I'm an introverted extrovert. I do it out of have to, you know, to grow the business and network and do those types of things. I was raised by humble missionary parents, very religious, you know, bragging, kind of like putting your wins out there, being like, look what I did doesn't come natural to me,
right.
You know? And, but there's no way you're not going to get that shot. You're not going to get that opportunity if you're not out there telling people what you're doing, telling people what you're about, telling people how great your guys' team is. You know, you got to be out there kind of putting yourself out there. And I think you brought up something great today when you said, you know, the networking stuff and what's something you can do to kind of figure out what that next project is for you. For me, almost even when I'm feeling low or I don't know my direction or whatever, I'll offer that same thing to someone else. Who's someone that I can give some direction to because I know about what they're doing or some value I can give. And it comes back around.
Well, and starting at capacity came from just meeting with an old colleague friend of mine that I'd worked with for, you know, over 10 years ago. And that's how I learned about the opportunity and got involved, you know? So you just never know.
I absolutely love it. People know where to contact you. You're Matt Watson. You know, it's been awesome having you on the show, learning more about At Capacity and just getting a chance to kind of catch up. We're always moving super fast, but I know that that At Capacity is going to be, you know, one that you're not only proud of, but that we're going to continue to see grow. And I'm excited to see what other verticals you get into. Like if you get into e-commerce, I definitely need to be a part of that and see what you guys are doing. It sounds awesome.
All right, man. Thank you so much for having me on today.
You're welcome, Matt. Thanks for being a guest. Thanks again to our listeners. Do you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders? Let FullScale help. They have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions and let the platform match you up with fully vetted, high-experienced team of software engineers, testers, and leaders. At FullScale, they specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit fullscale.io. Does it seem weird to hear that? Like the sponsor class?
You're doing a good job. Doing a good job.
All right. I'll take that. Thanks again, hustlers. Thanks again, Matt. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button. Then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.